Come on, Natalie. Hello, Natalie.
Hello there, DJ. How are you?
Great. Thank you for calling. Perfect timing. Absolutely perfect.
Awesome. I'm Chuck Wagner here with me.
Hi, DJ.
Hello there, and this is...
Chuck Wagner.
Chuck Wagner. Very good. Okay. And, Chuck, what is your role in the show coming up here Saturday?
Well, I'm her guest star. We're both Broadway veterans. I was in Into the Woods and Beauty and the Beast.
How cool. Fantastic. Very, very good. I got the questions you guys forwarded. Thank you for those. I'm adding a few of my own. I want to preview them with you first before we ask them on the air. First of all, have either of you performed in Prescott, Arizona before?
No.
I'll give you a bit of advice. I tell all performers this. If you come out on the stage and you say, "Good evening, Prescott," they will correct you. It's Prescott. They will be very loud about it, too. So make sure you say Prescott. The venue you're performing in Saturday is the Prescott Elks Theater. It was a grand old small-town movie palace that was built in the turn of the century. It's been completely restored. It's like walking into a grand theater on opening night 1920. It's an amazing place. You guys will have a band on stage with you, right?
Yes.
Very good. Okay. And I'll also ask you about your musical influences growing up and stuff like that, okay?
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
We are going live in about 1 minute, and what I'm going to do here, I'm going to change headphones so I won't hear you until I lead you into the broadcast in about 1 minute, okay?
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Okay, 20 seconds, 25 seconds. And here we go. And welcome to the Thursday edition of Q&A. I'm DJ Phone, and this is going to be a fun show today because we're talking my favorite topic, show business. We're going to open up the show by talking with Natalie Toro and Chuck Wagner. They are Broadway veterans who will be performing Broadway show tunes, the Great American Songbook, just the greatest classics we've ever heard at the Prescott Elks Theater this Saturday. And then after the news break with Link, we'll be talking with Diane Klein, who is performing in the Stage 2 production of the Prescott Center for the Arts all through the night. So it's all show business today. And we have Natalie and Chuck on the line. First of all, let's start with what happened at the Happy Trails Resort. What's this about, a sold-out show last night?
It was incredible. I don't know. There must have been like 1,000 people in that room.
Yeah, it was amazing.
And they were on their feet. They didn't want us to stop. I've never experienced that before. It was like... is it live or is it Memorex? Remember that commercial?
sure, absolutely. Natalie and Chuck, tell us your different roles in this show that we're going to see at the Prescott Elks Theater this Saturday.
Well, the show is about an hour and a half long, and it's 90 minutes, and it's a show about Broadway. We are both, like you said before, we're both Broadway veterans, and we also have a beautiful young local singer named Katrina Haynes. She will be joining us. So she's opening the show. And then
she's delightful. She'll be singing, among of the songs she's singing is a song from the new musical on Broadway called Waitress.
Oh, nice.
I bring up classics like From Oklahoma, South Pacific, Beauty and the Beast, and Into the Woods. I was in the original cast of that, so some of that as well. So my section is kind of a classic Broadway stuff, and then we bring up the legendary.
And then my show is my solo show, and it takes you through my career, and there's a lot of fun. There's comedy, there's laughter, there's tears, and you get a whole hour of me.
she's a firecracker. She is amazing.
Between the music and the laughter and the tears, sounds like a Broadway show.
My God,
it is like
a Broadway show. What's wonderful about what I love doing is that we're not just Broadway singers. We're not just singers coming in to do Broadway songs. We are actual Broadway veterans that have played many of the songs that we're going to sing that evening. So we're going to actually bring to life a lot of the roles that we actually played on Broadway, and we don't need a set, we don't need costumes, we don't need lights or anything. We will take you on the journey.
Absolutely.
But you also have a live band, correct?
Absolutely.
And they're beautiful. They're fantastic musicians. You're going to be blown away by them.
Yes, they're local Arizona musicians. I'm blown away by them.
And Natalie, tell us some of the Broadway shows you have performed in.
Well, my very first Broadway show was Les Miserables, and
That's quite a way to start.
I know, right? Yeah, I was right after college. I was pretty lucky, I guess. I was in the right time, right place. The universe already had that planned, I guess. And I held on to that role for 3.5 years. And I've also done Isabella in Cats. And I did Mary Magdalene in the Jesus Christ Superstar. I've done In the Heights. Played the mother in Inner Heights. I also created the role of Madame Defarge in A Tale of Two Cities. I've done a lot of, I did the 20th anniversary tour of Evita. I was played Ava Perón.
Ah.
I have an extensive resume, including a lot of regional houses where you get to create new work and new roles in the hope that will actually go to Broadway.
And Chuck, repeat for us the shows you've been involved in.
Well, my Broadway debut was in The Three Musketeers, but I was Javert in Les Mis for a couple of years. I played both princes and the wolf in Stephen Sondheim's Into the Woods. I was in Beauty and the Beast for over 5 years, where I played the Beast. I created the role of Jekyll and Hyde, and Frank Wilde went to Jekyll and Hyde, and was the first to sing the Scarlet Pimpernel. So I've been around for a long time, over 30 years of work, and it's hard to imagine because I'm only 32.
Wow. Now, I have to ask you, Chuck, because you mentioned Inspector Javert. Do you remember an old TV series that's been in reruns for 50 years called The Fugitive?
I do.
Did you know that was based in part on the Sam Shepard murder case, but mostly on Les Miserables, because the Dr. Richard Kimball character is modeled after Jean Valjean, and the inspector, I can't remember the cop's name, the Barry Morse character, Inspector Gerard, he is based on Inspector Javert. He just never gave up. He was obsessed with getting his man, even to his total ruin.
Oh, absolutely. It is a classic show, and I love playing that role. Speaking of television, though, for hardcore people from the 80s might remember, I had a TV series called Automan, where I was a computer-generated superhero that was not based on Les Miserables. It was actually television's answer to the movie Tron.
Oh, there you go. Sure. Hey, tell us where you're both from, and what was your first time on the stage, both of you, and where are you from?
I'm from the Bronx, New York. I'm sure you've heard of it.
Oh, yeah.
And I actually, my training and my schooling has been amazing. My mother has been a huge force in my training. And I started at 8 years old playing the piano and studying classical voice and all that stuff. And then I went to the High School of Music and Art, which is the Fame School. Then in Boston, I found myself at the Boston Conservatory of Music, learning the musical theater trade. And then right after school, I was right in Les Mis. So kind of crazy.
Boy, Chuck?
Yeah, well, I grew up in a small town in Hartsville, Tennessee, went to school in Gallatin. And my very first theatrical experience was in the fourth grade, where I was Captain Hook in Storybook Land. But I really got into the theater when I was a sophomore in high school, probably the world's youngest Henry Higgins.
Oh.
My senior year, I was Billy in Carousel. A talent scout saw me, and I did my first professional job in the place called Jenny Wiley Summer Music Theater in Prestonburg, Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
Through the Southeastern Theater Conference, a big audition, the first year I was at University of Alabama in Tuscaloosa, I got the job at the Lost Colony, which I don't know if you've ever heard of, but it's America's oldest, longest-running outdoor drama, where I played kind of the good colonist, and I fell in love with my wife, who played the wife of the good Indian in the show.
Very nice.
And by the legendary Broadway director, Joe Layton, who directed Barnum and Cats. He did all of Barbra Streisand's television special. He was a great choreographer as well. And he told me that if I was serious about the business, to go west. So I did. I went west to USC in Los Angeles. And John Houseman, who was doing Paper Chase, head of the theater department. And that's where I met Frank Wildhorn, who went on to write Jekyll and Hyde, but I starred in his very first musical while I was at USC. So from the time I was 16, I haven't stopped working yet.
And that's especially amazing because you were at USC, where you learned there's a lot of competition in Southern California, as you learned, Natalie, being in New York, correct?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Pounding the pavement is no joke.
Oh, boy. We are talking with Natalie Toro and Chuck Wagner. They will be in town Saturday evening at the Prescott Elks Theater. More coming up with Natalie and Chuck in just a moment on today's Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 a.m., 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, streaming live, you know where, in the words of the immortal Buzz Lightyear, to infinity and beyond on KQ&A.com. Hey, guys, great stuff so far.
Hey, thank you.
We're in a 2.5-minute commercial break right now. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Very good. Okay, I'll let you guys know in about 2 minutes. We're coming back, okay? And right now, we're 2 minutes away. One and a half minutes.
20 to 40%, costing you up to $400 a year. At Moyers, we have a plan to get those energy bills under control and improve your indoor air quality by reducing dust. Using patented AeroSeal technology or Carrier's Infinity Air Cleaner, making the common cold not so common anymore. Carrier, turn to the experts. For more information, go to MoyersHVAC.com, where we put honesty before profit. You have my word on it.
We're back in 1 minute.
Real estate sales team.
And I'm Michael Yarns, owner of Rent Right Management Solutions. Cody Ann and I both earned our bachelor's degrees from Prescott College.
Prescott is where we met 12 years ago, and Prescott College is where we learned the skills we needed to be successful entrepreneurs. Every day, we are proud of the work we are doing to enrich
people at
Prescott College, making a difference globally and locally, starting right here in Prescott. Load up the RV and hit the open road. To the repair shop.
30 seconds. And here we go.
You're listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, DJ.
And we are back live at 312 with Natalie Toro and Chuck Wagner. They will be on the stage at the Prescott Elks Theater this Saturday evening. And I want to make it clear to all of our listeners who have been going to the Prescott Elks Theater for so many years for tribute shows, this is not a tribute show. This is the real deal, folks. These are actual Broadway veterans bringing the finest of American music to our stage right here in Prescott. And on that note, Natalie and Chuck, I have to ask you, it's funny because if you think back to the 1960s TV network variety shows that were so popular at the time, almost all of the music that we called pop music was actually Broadway show tunes. And one of the reasons was because so many of the TV producers in those days were in their 50s or in their 60s, and they thought this rock and roll stuff was just going to be a fad that was going to blow away. So when you open up your TV guide and you saw the heavy paper insert for Columbia Record Club where you tape a penny to it and mail it in, what they called pop music was Broadway standards.
Right. That's where I grew up on that. There's a club called the Masters Club in Hollywood. It's an old Hollywood legend. And I am torchbearer for Robert Goulet. And I had the opportunity to Sir Lancelot by Robert Goulet as King Arthur.
I can only imagine.
Yeah, so I try to bring a little bit of Bob every time we do the show.
Now Natalie doesn't play your Kara Lawrence, does she?
No.
Natalie, I have to ask you first, who were your musical influences growing up, and whose music did you hear your parents playing in the home when you were a little girl?
Well, my father is a beautiful singer. He's a tenor. And growing up, you know, he was playing a lot of the oldies, you know, there comes a time in every girl's life.
Wow.
That was a song I learned when I was like three.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, here's the other one. You cheated, you lied, you said that you loved me.
And that's without a warm-up. Very, very impressive. Chuck, when you were growing up, who did you hear in the home?
Well, I was very much into the written word, and I was into the theater. So I listened to like spoken word, like John Gielgud and Richard Burton and things like that. So I was tied into the old things. But when I was in high school, and you're going to hear some of this with Natalie because she got to play it in the world. When we were like, I was like a senior in high school, is when Jesus Christ Superstar came out, and that changed the world for theater.
Sure.
It's a whole new thing. Between that and then Les Mis and the whole British Invasion, Phantom of the Opera, and all that stuff. I was just, at that point, I was addicted to that. So Pippin, I was always into Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
So those were my, that's my influence.
What's interesting is that growing up, yes, I had music around me all the time. So I really just truly wanted to be a pop singer. And, but at the same time, I was listening to, you know, Godspell, Hair. And the woman that I really listened to and I was practicing to with my hairbrush in front of my mirror when I was a child was Barbara Streisand.
Sure. Amazing. So at what age did someone tell you, you know what, you have a very special voice?
Well, for me it was 5 years old because I got to sing at amateur night at the Apollo in Harlem.
Wow.
My father hired a 5-piece band. And I sang, which way you're going, Billy? And I go to a 5.
Wow. Holy smokes. Chuck, how about you? How old were you when someone recognized you have a talent?
Yeah, well, when I was in high school, I was in the choir. And we did, you know, we did all-state and quad-state choir. I had music singers. It was the theater teacher, Ms. Guthrie, and the choir teacher, Mr. Boone. They saw potential in me and gave me opportunity and gave me the confidence to continue. So they saw me, they allowed me to thrive.
Now, this is your last stop on a mini tour, correct?
Yes.
And Saturday night we'll be at the Prescott Elks Theater. So have you been through Arizona before, either one of you?
Actually, I've been through with national tours. Broadway tours. I've been through, you know, Tempe and Phoenix
right.
And I'll tell you, there was a time where I was here during the summer. I nearly died.
Oh.
Like, wow, well, this place is like an oven, you know, but it didn't matter because I love the heat. But yes, I've been through I also come on vacation once in a while to Sedona.
Well, the big difference here between this area and Phoenix is about 20 degrees difference. So during the summer, you're not going to bake up here. And during the winter, it's going to be a lot warmer here than it is in Flagstaff, which gets about 3,000 feet of snow every winter. So you found a pretty good place for your Saturday concert. Now, tell us about your band.
Well, what was amazing is that I arrived on Monday, and right from the airport, I went right to rehearsal with the band, and they received my music ahead of time, just a couple of days ahead of time, and I have to tell you, DJ, it is absolutely the most amazing feeling that I'm feeling every time I sing with these people is because I feel like they've been performing with me for years.
Mm-hmm.
I have never had such a trust for a band like I have for this band. And these musicians are local Arizona guys.
That's even better.
I'm blown away by them. Yeah, blown away.
Fantastic.
And plus, you're opening singers from this area too, correct?
Yes, she's also the show is being produced by Tad Management, and she's one of the rising stars in their company. A lot of people. Her name is Katrina Haynes, again, to remind you, and she's young.
Yes, and we've worked her into the show, and so I'm very pleased. We actually do a duet, and so we're very excited. Very excited.
We want to remind our listeners you can get tickets for this amazing show coming up Saturday by calling 928-777-1370. You can go online to PrescottElksTheater.com or just stop by the box office downtown. The show is Saturday at 7 p.m. And Natalie and Chuck, because you guys are both veteran singers, I have to ask you this. I always ask singers this question. Give me an idea of what it takes to keep your singing voice in top condition.
You have to be quiet.
Right.
No screaming.
No screaming. You have to be quiet, which I have to remind myself constantly.
Lots of water.
Lots of water, and especially here. And you know, when you travel to a different climate, different allergies and allergens are happening. It's a constant battle. I know for me, everybody tells me, what is the thing that you fear the most? And to me is when I feel a little tickle in my throat, then I'm the most nervous because I don't know what that tickle is. Is it an allergy? Is it the beginning of an infection or sore throat? And then when you know you have to sing that evening, that just kind of takes over your entire world.
Right.
You don't know what's going to happen. A voice, you can't just plug it in like an instrument. You know,
sure.
The water and the rest is the most important thing, I think.
A lot of singers have told me they have to sing every single day. True?
Not for me.
Well, not every single day, but I think it's like anything else. The more that you sing, it's like any muscle.
The stronger
it gets.
Yes.
So, yeah, so it's good. You don't have to sing every day, but you don't want to, like, if you don't want to lay off for like a month.
No way.
Yeah, so, you know, and that's the beauty. If you enjoy singing, you just sing, whether you're in the car.
Well, that's really interesting that you brought that up, Chuck, because I'm one of those people that don't sing at all.
Oh, really?
I don't sing in the car. I don't sing in the shower. I don't sing walking around my house.
I only get to sing in the car. Nobody else wants to hear me.
Right?
At all.
You know, I just don't. It's one of those weird, unless I'm rehearsing something or practicing a song, then I sing. But I don't usually sing.
That's because she gives it all on the stage. I promise you. You will be blown away.
What is your opinion of why so many Broadway show tunes and great American songbook songs have lasted so many years through so many generations, and even younger people today pick up on it and just love it?
Well, I think that because a classic song that really works is elegant in its simplicity. It reaches deep into your heart and moves you emotionally. And the melody
it
hooks you in. So exactly. So when a classic, you'll know a classic when you hear it, even if it's a new song. When it just rings and you can tell it's a hit, there's a certain magic that happens. So.
And what's really interesting, like we can talk about ABBA and Mamma Mia.
Sure.
You know, ABBA. You know, the kids nowadays didn't really know who ABBA was. They might have heard Dancing Queen once in a while or whatever. You know, but then once Mamma Mia came to Broadway, then the young kids are like, oh my God, we love this music.
Mm-hmm. And to prove that everything old is new again, there's a song that's been on the charts the last year by Train called Play That Song, and that's Hoagy Carmichael's Heart and Soul from the late 1930s, just reworked.
Yep.
Amazing what a great melody can do, huh?
Written in the 30s.
All the good songs are written in the 30s, yeah, I agree.
So now, Chuck, you were telling us about your admiration for Robert Goulet. I have to ask Natalie, who is the one person who, if you saw them in the first row during your concert, would throw you off your game?
Barbara Streisand.
Yep.
I will tell you that I've never seen her in concert.
No,
I could
kidding.
Could never get a ticket. It's like we go on sale, and in the blip of an eye, they're sold out.
Well, not to put too much of a spoiler warning here. There's a moment in the show. There's a section of Streisand in the show that will knock your socks off.
Isn't that amazing? And one of the funny things too is that Streisand she fought stage fright much of her career, didn't she?
Yes, absolutely. And she's also an amazing perfectionist. she goes around and she walks, like, if she's playing Madison Square Garden, you know, during her sound check, she will walk around the entire theater to make sure that the people in the fifth row and on the people in the rafters are hearing the same thing that the people in the fifth row are hearing.
Mm-hmm. And when you're mentioning I'm sorry, go ahead, Chuck.
No, I wasn't saying.
When you see somebody like, say, Tony Bennett performing with Lady Gaga or with Christina Aguilera, where you see the past glory of music and the future glory of music, what does that say about the lasting appeal of great songs?
I think it says it. I think it says that music is immortal. Music is ageless and timeless, and that good music blends no matter what.
Right, and I love that the old generation and the new generation is coming together, and even vocal styles are so different. Like, you know, Tony Bennett's style is different from Lady Gaga and Christina, and definitely Christina Aguilera, you know? But yet, the piece works because the piece is brilliant in itself.
And they play, anytime it's played honestly, it's going to be a beautiful thing.
And Chuck, you said you grew up appreciating the written word. Isn't it amazing how we can say things in a song that we'd probably be afraid to say in conversation?
No, I agree with that. But the best songs have a story. And to me, it's all about the story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like the melody, and I like the music, I like the whole packaging of it. But it's literally about the story that you're telling. It's all about storytelling.
And it's a wonderful story coming up Saturday evening on the stage at the Prescott Elks Theater. It'll be Natalie Toro and Chuck Wagner bringing their Broadway show tunes, The Great American Songbook, a fabulous show with a wonderful band at the Elks Theater. Call 928-777-1370 or go online to PrescottElksTheater.com for your tickets for Saturday's show. Natalie Toro, Chuck Wagner, thanks so much for joining us today on Q&A. Have a great show Saturday.
Thank you so much. I hope to see you there.
You bet. You have a great night. Bye-bye. Natalie Toro and Chuck Wagner. Boy, what a great show that's going to be. You're going to hear the best, folks. That's at the Prescott Elks Theater this Saturday evening. Stay tuned. We're going to take a break and come back with some a couple thoughts going on, especially if you're attending the Florida-Georgia Line or Run One Republic concert in Scottsdale coming up the next couple of nights. That's coming up. Then we'll have news with Link on today's Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities. 11:30 a.m., 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, streaming live at KQNA.com. If you're still there, that was wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Are you coming to the show?
Saturday, I will be in California. I wish I could be there, though. Thank you for a great interview. I interview the guys from TAD Management all the time, so that was a real pleasure.
You don't have to tell this to anybody. One of the things that I did get to do when I was coming through Arizona before was John. That was I was ringmaster of the circus for 4 years. You know,
no
there
kidding.
Is no more ring.
I'll be darned. Wow, what a career path, I'll say. Interesting stuff. Thank you so much, Chuck. Natalie, you guys have a great show.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Have a seat. We're going to do a brief cut-in for about 4 or 5 minutes. Thank you. For about 4 or 5 minutes, then cut to news, then we'll have a longer segment. Oh, thanks for bringing us in. Good. Oh, this is fine. This is great. No, I interview people from the PCA all the time. All the time. Thanks for coming back, especially. I felt so bad about the other day, but we got to have everything locked down before we take on any guests.
I felt
so
good about it because it gave me the chance to come up with some questions.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, so it all worked out. Yeah, it all worked out. Now, this is the Reader's Theater, right?
Yes.
It is, good. Okay. See, I've never done a stage role, but I could start with something like this. Because I've always been afraid of forgetting my lines.
Yeah.
You don't have that concern with this.
No, we're on book. We have dramatized this, though. It's partially staged.
Sure.
Because it's part of my explanation. It's a complicated play. But we are on book.
Mm-hmm. Good. Very good. Yeah, I could do something like that.
Oh, good. You should join us.
No, one of these days I just might do it. I keep looking for the audition notices. So. And here we go. So you'll be on number 3. You want to get right up on it. Since we were talking shows, we'll be cutting to Diane Klein in just a moment about All Through the Night at the PCA Stage 2. If you have tickets for tonight's Florida Georgia Line concert at the TPC in Scottsdale, or tomorrow night's One Republic concert, please keep in mind this. That location is literally across the street from the main Phoenix Open Tournament entrance. So if you are getting there early for the concert tonight or tomorrow evening, you may face thousands and thousands and thousands of golf fans leaving the Waste Management Open. So please plan accordingly. We don't have those issues with the PCA Stage 2, do we, Diane Klein?
Not at all.
have you performed a Stage 2 before?
Yes, actually.
And what is the difference between performing for you at a tiny venue like that, a little black box theater, and maybe a larger traditional main stage? Does it bother you having the audience so close to you?
No, not at all. Because there's just a much more intimate feeling to it. It's a little freeing in the size of it because you don't feel so much pressure to produce for such a big audience.
Or project,
You
don't have to play for the top row, do you?
No.
Now, tell us what the Reader's Theater is. That's what this production is, All Through the Night, correct?
Yes, it is.
And the Reader's Theater is?
It's a more casual theater form for audiences looking for live theater, but in a more economic-friendly environment for financially and production-wise. Mm-hmm. I think a traditional analogy would be to the 1940s radio story hour.
Sure.
People are on book, and they're characterizing the words that are in the book. This production is a little bit different. We've modified it to be a little bit more dramatized because of the storyline. We felt that because of the change in the time sequences and alternating plot developments, a better understanding or ability to follow what was happening would need some visual and light and sound assistance or support. So we've added that into it.
Now, Parker Anderson's directing this, correct?
He is.
Yes. And I would imagine, too, that because you are doing this from book, that can create a little more challenge for an actor, too, because you have only your mannerisms and your voice to convey the story. You can't physically act it out quite the same way, can you?
No, it has been challenging because we have partially staged and blocked it in a dramatic format. So when you're walking and gesturing and everything, you want to sometimes do things, but you have one hand held up with the book in hand.
Yeah, indeed.
That's been a challenge.
So tell us what All Through the Night is about.
It's a historical drama based on the actual accounts related of 7 German Gentile women during the Nazi era, centering on 4 girls who come of age in those times.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about all the trials and tribulations they go through.
I was mentioning with the singers we interviewed just a few minutes ago how you can say things in a song that you can't necessarily say in conversation. And likewise, with a dramatic production like this, you can convey historical themes and truths in a way that's more interesting and more gripping than in a history book, can't you?
Absolutely, sure. And, All Through the Night, the title, it's actually a song title.
Mm-hmm.
It's an old, Welsh lullaby, a child's lullaby. And we have a woman in the cast who has a beautiful voice. So unfortunately, we have to sing with her. That's how we've been directed. So.
Yeah. It's kind of hard to keep up with the best, isn't it?
Oh, it sure is. But, I mean, it's too bad for her because I think we kind of drag her down a little bit. But, yeah, there is a little music in it. And, you know, it's music and it's was written to be a surrealistic type of play, which we can't do in the black box theater because mm-hmm. that requires much more production facilities and everything. But it's like a little fairy tale, you mm-hmm. know, and like many fairy tales, you get some darkness that pervades into it from time to time. So there's some realistic scenes and mm-hmm. Themes that come into this at times.
So tell us about your role and about the other characters' roles.
Well, I and one of the schoolgirls, there's four schoolgirls involved, mm-hmm. And we appear at different ages. And so I'm one of the schoolgirls, I'm a grown-up, and I am the storyteller.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I want to tell this story about my old friends and our encounters throughout those trying times. And as much as I try to make it a fairy tale, you know, it takes turns on people. But there is some fun, there's sadness and scariness, and certainly enlightenment in it. And a happy ending, you know, it all depends on how you look at it.
Sure. This is, I understand, an all-female cast and playwright?
Absolutely. There are three other girls besides me, one who becomes a nurse, and she questions her faith and upbringing, you know, mm-hmm. and one who comes from a wealthy family and becomes a resistance fighter and consequently a prisoner, and one very disadvantaged girl who reluctantly adopts the Nazi ideology, and then there are two military women of the regime.
Mm-hmm.
So there's quite a range of people in it, and the author was a woman by the name of Shirley Lauro, and she wrote it in 2001, but it didn't even premiere till 2009 in New York City, which I found curious. But it does seem to be a story for all times and certainly one for future generations.
Sure. Yeah. And if you don't learn from the past, you're doomed to repeat it, aren't you?
Yeah.
And your show times are when?
Tonight is opening night.
Do you have the jitters yet?
No, I'm tired.
Believe me, once you go out there, once they dim the lights, it'll come back.
Yeah.
You know that.
Yeah. I'm so excited I can't sleep, even mm-hmm. though I really would like to. But tonight, tomorrow night, and Saturday night are the evening performances at mm-hmm. 7 o'clock. It is a small black box theater,
sure.
So it's limited seating.
Like maybe 50, 52 seats total, right?
Yeah, slightly mm-hmm. less than 50, I believe, mm-hmm. this time. So the doors open at 6:30 if you want to be assured a seat.
And it's only $5, right?
It's only $5, yeah. And your donations are encouraged and certainly appreciated.
So, sure.
Yeah, we'd love to have you there.
That is all through the night. Diane Klein is part of the cast of the show. We'll have more coming up with Diane in just a few minutes as we cover the news with Link on today's Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities. 11:30 a.m., 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood. We stream live around the world at kqna.com. We are back live at 3:44. We're talking with Diane Klein. She is one of the characters on stage at Stage 2, starting this evening, going through the weekend for All Through the Night, directed by Parker Anderson. Now, Diane, as we've been saying, this is a very serious, very dramatic play, but very, very early on when you were acting, you had a very embarrassing and, looking back on it, very funny experience, I believe, in Los Angeles, correct?
Yeah.
Tell us what happened.
Well, I got involved in some Shakespearean theater at a little theater in West Hollywood. They called it the Globe Theater. It was over there on Kings Road. And we did Twelfth Night and we did Hamlet. And the main thing I remember is you asked about taking curtain calls and stuff. Mm-hmm. And we had, you know, the show had ended and we had done our bows and I had backed up to allow other performers to come in and do their bows. And I'm very awkward when I'm not doing something. So I started to feel self-conscious and I saw all these eyes looking at me. So I kept backing up. I didn't stop and I backed right into one of the walls and knocked it over and it really fell over top of me somehow. And that was the
rather
most
mortifying, isn't it?
Yes.
And isn't it true they always tell beginning actors, learn your lines, don't chew the scenery, hit your marks, and don't trip over the furniture, right?
Yes.
Well, they also say don't knock over the props,
don't
correct?
Don't knock over the walls. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Indeed. So now, in your real life, you're a realtor, aren't you?
I am, yes.
Tell us about that. Who do you work for?
I'm with Realty One Group, Mountain Desert right now. I'm a residential sales specialist and have been for years. I started real estate back in the mid 80s. So I started in Northern California and then went to upstate New York in the Catskill Mountain region there for 16 years. Mm-hmm. And when my husband retired and we moved out here, that was the job that always kept me going, and I always had a lot of fun with it. You know, it's very, got a lot of elements to it.
A lot of challenges, too.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. But I'm a good people person, and I like doing the right thing for people, so it worked for me.
Yeah. What areas of Northern California were you in?
Humboldt County.
Humboldt County, where is that?
Eureka, the office I worked out of was in Arcata, where Humboldt University is.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to be in San Jose and Palo Alto over the weekend. So
Further south, yeah. We were way up below the Oregon border.
Mm-hmm. Now, you went a long time between theater appearances, didn't you?
Oh,
you started out, I mean, you loved doing it in grade school, right? In high school?
I had an elementary school experience, but I loved doing it in my 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And
so why'd you wait so long before coming back to it?
Life just took me in many different directions.
Life got in the way, huh?
Yeah. And you know, you always have to make a living. But I was a much inexperienced and very naive young person.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up in southeastern Indiana, in a little farm town. So I needed to get a lot of life experience before I could really do much. You know, I learned a lot of the techniques and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't have the emotional depth that someone needed, so I allowed myself to get detoured here and there.
Sure.
And I kind of knew I would always come back to it, but geez, whoever thought it would take this long?
Yeah.
Huh?
Well, with your lifelong interest in theater, and you know the nuts and bolts about acting and stuff, are you able to watch a movie or a TV show and not sit there and go, bad performance?
I enjoy all performances, you know. Sometimes I go, ooh, you know, I mean, I can cringe at things and feel some empathy for the person. But I pretty much enjoy everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I have to ask you if you've seen any of the Oscar nominees for Best Picture yet.
Yes, I have. I can't tell you which one specifically. I'm a big movie buff, but I've been so distracted with this for the past month. I Haven't been able to keep up with it, but I'm sure I saw some of them if you were to start naming them.
Let's see. The Best Picture nominees would be Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri.
Loved that.
You loved it. Okay, The Post.
Loved that.
The Shape of Water.
Oh, I just saw that a couple of weeks ago.
Kind of magical, isn't it?
Yes, it was.
Also, of course, we have Phantom Thread, the Daniel Day-Lewis movie.
Didn't get to see that.
And there were five more, and they're slipping my mind right now, but some pretty varied offerings. What I have to ask you, what did you like the most about Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri? Obviously, Frances McDormand's terrific.
Her performance was wonderful.
Yeah.
I can't even remember how it ended.
Well, it's very, very original.
Yes.
We know that. It has the feel of a Coen Brothers movie, which is ironic since Frances McDormand is married to Joel Coen. See, I look at it from a whole different point of view. I'm from Missouri, and first of all, the characters pronounce it Missouri, which in small towns in Missouri, they call it Missouri. So I'm kind of fussy about that.
Yeah.
And I just there's no such place as Ebbing, Missouri. That's another thing. And what really got me was all the outdoor shots, because they filmed it in North Carolina. All the outdoor shots are mountainous and hilly, and Missouri is flat. And I just couldn't get past that. Because, you know, movie directors try and be so authentic about everything. I just couldn't get past that point of it. Now, the one good thing about it, though, the Sam Rockwell character, the doofus deputy, he said he based his character half on Barney Fife and half on Travis Bickle, the Robert De Niro character in Taxi Driver. That's quite a stretch.
Oh, my gosh. What a contrast.
But you know what? But he pulled it off.
Yeah.
He pulled it off.
That he was great. Love him, though, too.
So with your interests in theater and stuff, who do you most idolize in terms of actors and actresses? Any names jump out at you?
Well, Meryl Streep,
sure.
Of course.
How could you not?
Yeah. You know, I used to more idolize the men more than the women. And then I started developing female heroines or women that I could aspire to be like or truly appreciate all their works and stuff. But Frances McDormand, you know, she is so natural.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah.
Now, tell me this. When you're doing the Reader's Theater, do you still have to rehearse your lines? Because you don't have to memorize them because you have the script there.
Right.
But do you still have to rehearse them in your own time?
Oh, not so much in our own time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I have a few times because we don't have a whole lot of time to get together with everyone because most of the people involved are still working jobs and everything. So. But we don't memorize them. You end up memorizing a few here and there.
Sure.
But no, we're on book and we read, but it's very emotionally charged.
Yes, indeed. And it takes the stage tonight and tomorrow and Saturday evening and I believe a Saturday matinee?
Matinee starts at 2 o'clock, so the doors open at 1:30.
And stage 2, if you've never been there, is a little black box theater right in the alley behind Two Mamas Pizza and Peregrine Books, or as Rob White at the PCA called it, three dumpsters down from the main stage. So it's right there in the alley. You can't miss it.
Right behind the main stage.
You betcha. Diane Klein, thanks for joining us today on behalf of All Through the Night. Break a leg and have a great time. Stay tuned because I have some final thoughts and Monday's guests for Q&A coming your way in just a moment on the Talk of the Quad Cities. 11:30 a.m., 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood. Streaming live at kqna.com. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That was fun.
That was kind of fun. You make it very easy or delightful to go through.
Thank you. We try.
You're very knowledgeable about acting and theater and everything, huh?
Well, you know, it's funny. The guy who used to run the PCA, John Meyer, he was a New York veteran, the New York stage. He would call me and say, hey, I want to talk about this new show we're doing. I say, okay, come on in. And I block out the whole hour just for him, right? So he'd get here, and we're talking back and forth for an hour. And then with 2 minutes to go, he goes, oh, my God, we haven't mentioned the show yet. Because we're talking about everything else about show business.
Yeah.
The two of us are just like this. And then finally he says, oh, my God, we have a show to promote. And then he mentioned the show. Happened all the time. We just
thank
got off
you
on
very
tangents.
Much.
Thank you,
and
Diane.
Thanks for mentioning the realtor. Too bad I couldn't get my email or phone number in there, but
they'll look you up. They'll
maybe
find you.
Sometime.
You bet. Thanks
thank
so much.
Thank you very much. Okay.
Well, you know, of course, this is Super Bowl Sunday coming up. Well, KQ&A is carrying the Super Bowl and a whole bunch of pregame programming, including tonight and tomorrow night and Saturday night at 11 p.m. Don't miss that. Then the Super Bowl programming on Sunday starts about noon, so we'll have all sorts of great pregame programming and the game broadcast itself on right here on KQ&A, FM in the evening, AM and FM during game time. The Arizona Coyotes resume action tonight. They have a home game against the Dallas Stars. They will play the Los Angeles Kings in L.A. Saturday. Game time tonight, 7 o'clock. Saturday, 8:30. Both games on KQ&A FM. And the Northern Arizona Suns return to action Friday and Saturday evening at the Prescott Valley Event Center. Tickets only $9 to start. We'll stay tuned now for Talk of the Town, the Thursday toss-up. Then join guest host Gregory Scott Monday as he sits in for me with his guests, including Amos Owen and director Bruce Lanning from the PCA's upcoming production of Italian-American Reconciliation that's written by the playwright who created Moonstruck. And then, of course, we'll also have Rhonda Orr, Arizona's leading anti-bullying advocate, talking with Gregory on Monday. That's Monday at 3 for Q&A when Gregory Scott will see you on the radio.